Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. How do these words of Christ strike you? How do they settle in your ears, on your mind, and in your heart? How do they fit within the picture of who Christ is, what he did, and what he had come to do? My assumption is that these words might be a little unsettling to you, that they don't quite jive with who you believe Christ to be. After all, these words are harsh. And we know Christ to be loving and kind. We know he came to seek and save the world. So how could he say that he came to cast fire on the earth? To divide father and son, mother and daughter? Yet at the same time, if we take God's word seriously, if we take it as the truth that it claims to be, then these words of Christ, they're inevitable. And we shouldn't be surprised in the least. Those who are paying attention should know how to interpret the present time. That is, the time since Adam fell and Christ comes again to make all things new. So do you know? Can you interpret? Can you see? Or perhaps are you thinking as a hypocrite thinks? Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, fulfilling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own mind, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall fall upon you. This word of the Lord was spoken roughly 2,600 years ago, yet they are just as relevant today as they were when they were first spoken. At the time, they were spoken to the whole people of Israel, those God had claimed to be his own through the promise of Abraham, as they faced the imminent destruction of Jerusalem on account of their sin. Now, they are spoken to the whole world. Those God has claimed as his own through the promise of Christ, as we face the imminent destruction of the world on account of our sin. These words serve as a warning and as a reminder that we are to listen only to the word of the Lord of hosts, the Almighty God in heaven above. For the word of the Lord is like fire, like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces, revealing that we have all transgressed the word and we find ourselves beneath its judgment. And the Lord, he will not turn from his wrath until he accomplishes the intentions of his heart. Our only hope then is to turn to the one who can save. The Almighty God, the one who is. For when we hear of his word of judgment against us, we also know that we have hope in him. For in his word, he has told us that he has taken the sin of the whole world and laid it upon his son. Your judgment came when Christ hung on the cross, bleeding and dying for you. And so the word of the Lord tells us that when we repent of our sins, when we turn away from them and back to him, he is pleased, eager to forgive us and give us life. Yet there are many false prophets that have gone out into the world who cause the people to forget the name of the Lord. Now, of course, his name is more than simply letters on a page or sounds within our mouth as it's formed. But in fact, the Lord's name is who he is, quite literally. His name includes all that he has done for us and for our salvation and all that he still promises to do. These false prophets do not just exist in the time of Jeremiah or in the time of Jesus, but the word of these false prophets goes out even today as they seek for their own reasons to teach according to their own vain thoughts and desires. And when we listen to their empty words, it causes us to forget the one true word, the word of the Lord, which alone can save us. And so how do we know that we are listening to the voice of the Lord through one of his true prophets or the voice of one of these false prophets? After all, false prophets don't announce themselves. They don't declare their vanity of their words or the wickedness of their hearts, but instead they prophesy their names in the name of the Lord and wrap their messages in spiritual language. The word of the Lord through Jeremiah, though, gives us aid, that we may not think as hypocrites think, but are able to interpret this present time. Jeremiah reveals that a true prophet, a proclaimer of God's word, stands in the counsel of the Lord to see and hear his word. He is called by God to speak faithfully all that he has heard according to the revealed word of God in the scriptures. A true prophet will always speak from God's word and points you back to God's word. A false prophet is self-appointed, self-sent, and speaks visions of their own mind. God's way is not made known to them. Though they may claim to be speaking for God and from his word and according to the Spirit, they quickly abandon the word of the Lord for their own empty thoughts. They instead root their message in their own dreams, their own experiences, their own way of reasoning, their own emotions, and so on. While some explicitly point to their dreams or experiences, others are much harder to discern. And so the Lord points us to the impact of their words. A true prophet will only speak those words that the Lord has uttered, no matter how harsh and pointed they may seem, no matter the backlash that they might receive for it. He will never sugarcoat it or pretend it's not as bad as it seems. He does so for the sake of the people, those who need to hear the word of the Lord, that they may be led away from their sins and back to God through repentance. A false prophet, on the other hand, speaks for their own gain, whether that be for money or power or fame, for their own amusement or for something else. They encourage people in their sin, telling them that they have nothing to fear, that no disaster shall fall upon you. They tell those who stubbornly follow their own hearts that it is all within God's will, that all is permissible for us to say and do. They speak no word of God's law. They speak no word of his judgment. They speak no word of warning. They cause God's people to forget God's name. And we live in a world where people proclaim in the name of Christ that all is well. That living with someone who isn't your spouse is okay. That sex outside of marriage is holy. That pornography is ethical. That homosexuality is within the will of God. That abortion is a gift. That divorce is a blessing. That getting drunk is to be celebrated. That speaking profanity is creativity. That hatred is righteous. That taking what is yours is, that what is not yours is justified. That the love of money is moral. That asserting yourself is good. That following your heart is what God desires. That you don't have to believe something in God's word if it is offensive to your reason or emotions. That going to church is optional. That you are inherently good. And that you can save yourself. And the list can go on and on and on forever. But the truth is that all of this is a damned lie, in the truest sense of that word, told in the worship of Baal and not of the Lord. And the Lord tells us, do not listen to them, lest you think like a hypocrite thinks and become one of them. And thus, we have the word of Christ. Do not think that I came to give peace on earth. No, I tell you, but rather division. The day is coming, and in fact has already come, when those who teach falsehood will face judgment, the wrath of God, the storm of the Lord, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of all those who despise the word of the Lord and stubbornly follow their own heart. But for those of us who believe, our judgment has already come. For God's wrath against our sin was satisfied in the crucifixion of Christ, that we may turn from our sin and live to Him. We have been claimed by God and set apart as His own people in order to speak His word faithfully, which will set us against all of those who do not. And we will be hated and despised for it. Yet Christ still calls us to stand firmly upon His word, promising He is with us, speaking His truth in love and patience, so that all who do not yet trust in Him might repent and believe and be forgiven. For consider Rahab, who did not believe according to the way of Jericho, but instead sent herself against those who were in Jericho, and instead believed with those who came as spies who served the true God. And on account of that, because she set herself against those who believed and taught falsely, she was saved when the city was judged. And consider this. Who of you, knowing that your loved one is having a fatal heart attack, or whose body is being eaten up by cancer, will not, regardless of how they feel, tell them the truth, that they must go to the doctor in order to receive healing, that in fact, if they don't, they will die? And who of you, if you go to a doctor and your loved one sees a doctor who is a quack, who tells them not to worry about the heart attack, that the cancer is fine and will go away on its own, who of you will not insist that they turn their back on those false doctors and go find one who will tell them the truth and bring them the healing that they need for life? Yet for some reason, we care more about this life in the body than we do life everlasting. And out of fear, we shrink away from telling our family, our loved ones, the truth. Yet it is the truth that will save them. It is only through the truth that they may be healed. We do not tolerate falsehood. For what has straw in common with wheat? In straw there is only death, but in wheat there is life. Therefore we stand firm on God's word alone, which is our salvation and leads to everlasting life, and not upon the vain hopes and dreams and lies and deceit, which only leads to everlasting death. This is the interpretation of the present time. that the Lord is bringing judgment against those who speak falsely in his name. But for those who repent, who seek the Lord and speak his word faithfully, they are truly his forever. So when you find yourself following any other word but God's, repent, and he will restore you to life. And when you face all kinds of hatred for the sake of Christ, know that it is Christ who has sent you, that it is Christ who stands with you, and that he will return again soon to make it right. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.